Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Good to have you along. Always like to visit time and again with local people that are involved in the media. And a good guy down Warren County way works at WMOI, WRAM, Mr. Sean Temple, a native of Kirkwood, Illinois. Good morning, sir. Thanks for coming in today.
Good morning, Jim. The hard-scrabbled avenues of Kirkwood.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I always tell people the first thing I can tell, like, if people are in it for the right reason is their kind of connection with the people they work with. So I should give you a hug or shake your hand because I respect you, because I can tell that immediately that you have a connection, and we all do it a different way in this business. But I rate how people do it is what their connection is with their listening audience, not necessarily their, you know, broadcasting style of whether they went to Syracuse or where, or Northwestern School of Journalism or wherever. My how I view it is what's the connection with the audience. I think you hit a home run in that category. I can tell when I listen to you do games and do interviews at your station.
Yeah, I just love the area. I love the schools. I mean, it goes without saying you and I work with some really, really good people in our area. It makes our job a lot easier.
All right, so grew up in Kirkwood, and for those people that don't know, Kirkwood, part of the former Yorkwood School District, right?
Bears, baby.
So, yeah, and I know this hour will go fast, and we'll get off the beaten path here, and as I ask this question, I think about, you know, do you, and I don't know how I can phrase this, about being a graduate of Yorkwood, you know, you're a Golden Bear graduate, and now Yorkwood's part of the United School District. Now, I know you still have a rooting interest for United. I get that.
Sure.
But still, you lose a little of the luster, don't you? And that's the part of the reality of living in Western Illinois with the demographics and declining population. But there's a little to be lost when consolidation occurs in terms of some of those traditions.
I absolutely agree. You know, I'll be a Yorkwood guy till, you know, I'm in the ground somewhere. But, you know, and of course you root for United. But you do. You lose just a little bit of that luster. The purple and gold's gone. It's all red, white, and black now.
Yeah.
And it is. The luster's gone just a little bit. But you still root for United, of course.
Yeah, and that's the – I remember one of the conversations I had with Coach Grant. How long's the Monmouth Roosevelt consolidation been?
What's it about? 12 years now? Does that sound about right?
And I remember the how sensitive the consolidations are because of the, you know, you're killing the mascot.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up in Roseville and still lives there. And I just remember he loves the old traditions as much as anybody, just like I do. And but there comes to a point where we were interviewing him, and he's like, some of these old dudes just got to get over it, man.
That's right.
Math don't lie. So that's the part of the demographic of it. Now, the other interesting story about you, I think, is like this weird infatuation with the like sports teams from Pittsburgh. And I'm like, did he grow up in Pittsburgh? No, he grew up in Kirkwood, Taylor. I'm like, what?
Close.
Well, how's he a Pittsburgh Steeler, Pittsburgh Pirate, and Pittsburgh Penguin fan, and Pittsburgh Pisces fan with Julius Irving and the Fish That Saved Pittsburgh?
Can't believe I didn't win an Oscar.
So where did that – give me a little background on where that came from.
Mid-70s, I became a Pirate fan first. Went to see a game at Wrigley Field, just a young kid, and went to see a game.
So your family, I assume, were Cub fans then growing up?
My mother's entire side, diehard, dedicated Cub fans. And then my dad was kind of a Pirate fan growing up, so we went and seen the Pirates and Cubs, and from the mid-70s on, I just kind of started following the Pirates. My first baseball memory was John Candelaria's no-hitter back in 76, 75, 76, so just been a Pirate fan, and that grew to the Steelers because they became really good, and was a Penguin fan even before Mario Lemieux. So yeah, I go back to the Rick Keogh days.
Well, and then because it's really weird, because like Jeff Henry grew up in Kirkwood, mm-hmm. who's mm-hmm. the coach at Rock Ridge, and he coached at Alexis, of course, back mm-hmm. in the day, and Rova, and I forget some of the other stops. But then he's like a big weird Pirate and Steeler fan, and so is like Jeff Flater, the Galesburg AD. Who graduated from Galesburg. So I'm just trying to figure out, where did that all come from for all these guys that still are connected to this very day in life?
We're everywhere. We're everywhere, man.
So where did – so You had a prior relationship, or you have a family relationship with Coach Henry growing up.
Yeah, we both grew up in Kirkwood together.
Did it kind of originate from that?
Yeah, we both just kind of started kind of liking the same teams growing up because we spent a lot of time in the summer together. Our families camped at one of the local campgrounds together, and then, of course, our families have been friends longer than Jeff and I have been alive. So we spent a lot of time growing up and just talking about the same teams, and I just think we just adopted it. I like to say I made him become a Pittsburgh fan.
All right. So and the one thing that's interesting about you, too, that I learned, I remember when you took the job, you've really only been in radio for five
mm-hmm.
years.
Yep.
And you're not an old guy, but you're not a young guy either. So you made a career change in the middle portion of your life,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're working at Farmland Food
Family. Yeah,
so tell us how that story. I mean, was it a labor of love that you said, "Hey, I'm gonna take this thing on. I want to do radio, and I want to change my careers. And this is something that I think I want to give it a go at." So tell us that story. I think that's an interesting story because you had worked at Farmland Foods how long?
Yeah, 26 years. 26 and a half years. Yeah. I went to college. I went to start a school at Sandburg after I graduated in '85 from Yorkwood to get into radio. This was my whole intention. And then kind of got veered off the beaten path after about a year and a half at Sandburg. Went to school or went to work at the packing house in Monmouth. Ended up getting a family, a couple of kids, and I thought, well, you know, my radio dream is over. And then I started doing some games for Prairie Radio at night, just doing some color and got into a little bit of play by play. And then the sports director job just like happened to come open. And they approached me and said, you know, is this something maybe you might want to do, sports director? It took me about 2 seconds to say, yeah, let's see, slinging hog fat and going to do local sports all day. Not much of a choice there.
So that was 5 years ago?
Yeah.
So, the big part of all this is the family has to be on board, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about, you have two sons.
Yep.
And I think one of your sons made a big shot against Brent Hutton and the Orient Chargers, right?
Yes.
Many years ago?
Yes. So,
that
Brent, if you're listening, I apologize.
That was at Chillicothe. Where was that game at?
That was Jeremiah Bresnahan.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Yeah, that was Jeremiah Bresnahan. Yeah, in the sectional final, maybe?
Yeah, was it at Chillicothe?
It was at IBC.
Yeah.
We did a football game years ago from IBC, and every time Coach Grant goes there, he goes in the gym and takes a picture every time he's there from that spot.
So two boys and a wife, so a little bit about like their buy-in and all this when you made that change. They're like, you're going to do what?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a packing house. It paid my bills for 26 and a half years, you know, not a dream job by no means, but, you know, it did our family well for years. So we sat down and talked about it and kind of crunched the numbers, and the numbers come out okay. So my wife, as you well know, I mean, we've got two of the most patient wives mm-hmm. in the area probably. I don't know why they still like us, but totally on board. She said, if you want to do it, let's do it. And, of course, you know, both boys had no issue with it because they were in high school doing their own thing running around. What? Dad's doing what? So, yeah, totally on board. But, they have to be.
All right, so how enjoyable, like, let's face it, there's challenges in this job. And, like, for me, there's a little bit of a misnomer when they say, Jim, you're the sports director at WRMJ. Well, yeah, I'm bad, and I'm 17 other jobs. And in terms of priority, you know, I'm the news director, too, and do ag and do sports. And when I look at, like, priority, I know a lot of people, because they hear me doing a lot of games, they think that's all I do.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, okay, no. That's about, in terms of priority and percentage
of my job.
Yeah, my percentage of my job, about 75% is news and ag, and 25% is doing games and doing sports. I take great pride in that. But, like, that's, like, people don't understand small market radio, that if you could just do sports and that was your only thing you had to do at the station, well, you could do every game of every team and be everywhere in every place and show up to work. Your shift would be like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon instead of having to show up early in the morning.
Great.
So, I mean, that's the other thing, that even though you have a title per se, there's just so much more in small market radio. And that's the one thing that you look at that you love at sometimes, and then you hated it sometimes too, because you can't be everywhere in every place. But for me personally, when I first came in, all I wanted to do was sports.
Yeah,
that's it, as a young kid. But then I don't know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't. I'm glad I just don't do sports, because I like the slice of life that small market radio is, that allows you to do like everything.
Yeah, I do the morning show from about a little before 7 till 9 on WREM, and just talking to just local people. I mean, very little sports. We do a morning interview.
Community.
Right, sure. And just talking to the people in the area as they come in and talk about their events and, you know, what have you, the folks we have coming in. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, doing sports 8 to, you know, 10 hours a day, whatever the case may be during that day, would be great. But, man, that variety is pretty cool. Very cool.
Yeah, and, you know, the getting into the, like, the meat of it, as I use it from the farmland foods old analogy of this.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah, of this job, you know, what are some of the, I don't know, you look at the challenges of this profession. I'm not going to say disappointments, but, you know, for me, we talked a little bit about it already. You can't do everything. And some people always believe that you're shortchanging them for this reason or you're overlooking them or whatever. And sometimes it's, well, we just don't have enough time or we just physically can't do it. Whatever the sport is, you know, there's those interests. Still try to cover them as much as possible, but maybe they're not. Well, I guess the example is they're not covered like the football team is on Friday night.
Sure.
And they're not covered like the basketball team on Friday night.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's one of the big things that I hear is people feel they're not being treated sometimes like those programs are.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a definite challenge. We also do things for WAIK, which is the Galesburg area. And they've got, you know, they do whatever, 57 sports during the school year, you know, that we try to keep up with as well as our, you know, the Monmouth, the immediate Monmouth area with West Central and Monmouth, Roseville and United. And, you know, and you try to be everywhere, you know, you try to get stuff covered, but there's only so many of you to go around and, you know, and it's a delicate balance. And especially trying to answer that question when they come up to you, it's a political job for sure.
Yeah. And,
we would love to be.
That's why I say, if it was just sports, if your station was just sports, I would feel obligated to say, we should be doing that, and more than likely we probably are doing that. But it's kind of a cheap default for me is I like, well, how many of your games were broadcast on the all sports station up in the Quad Cities? Oh, that's right, zero.
And none. Yeah, exactly. So, amazing to me.
So that's where I default. All right, we're talking a little bit about Bi-County, like where you grew up, went to Yorkwood. So, like Bi-County days, you know, basically all those schools are part of the
amazingly
consolidation.
Gone.
So what about some of your memories, like Yorkwood Golden Bears, Roseville Panthers, Southern Rebels, Union Yankees, La Harpe, what was her nickname, the Eagles?
The Eagles, yeah, La Harpe Eagles. I tell the story all the time. When we were young, back when we were wee lads, we thought going to La Harpe was a long road trip. When we got on the bus to go to La Harpe, we're like, oh, what a long road trip. Today, as you well know, La Harpe would be a short trip.
Yeah.
I mean, and we didn't go to shootouts in, you know, Riverton or, you know, up in the Chicago area. We didn't go to shootouts and didn't do any tournaments beside the, you know, the Thanksgiving and the Christmas tournament, which was the old Winola Jets, the old Winola holiday tournament. I remember playing in that. And, you know, it's just amazing how things have changed. You could fill a 30-game schedule and not go any farther than La Harpe. How cool is that?
Yeah, isn't that sad?
That's
that you
awesome.
Can't do
I know. I know. It'd be great for our budget, for one.
But then it's interesting because where you're at with Monmouth Roseville and the conference affiliation. And so they're in the track for football. And then they're in the, is it the West Central still exists?
West Central Conference for North like Division. Yeah. They have division.
The Norris Division.
The Norris Division, yeah. The Black and Blue Division of the West Central Conference.
So this is like I'll use some of Chuck Grant's terminology here. Come on.
I use it all the time.
No, come on, dude. Get in the same conference for everything.
I know.
And I'm not taking the, I'm not blaming anybody per se.
Sure. I mean,
But why can't... Like, what I heard about Monmouth Roseville in the track is, what are they, 535 kids, something like that?
Right, yep.
So that's the number. That's the big, scary number now, is like, no, too big. Can't play in the track for other sports. We'll take you in football because we need to fill a spot. And then, for me, I continue to harp on the Rock Ridge Sherrard situation. They're in the same conference, right? But they're not going to play each other in football for 4 years.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
So I just don't, I mean, that's the type of thing that just, to me, that alienates the promotion and the growth of the game.
And
people complain about why there's not as many people that go to games anymore, and maybe some of the participation with the kids has something to do with that, too. I think there are many factors that are in play with all that. Not just one over the other, but I think that's part of some of the participation stuff that we're dealing with.
When Monmouth Roseville joined the track in football, I thought it would be a done deal. Okay, we're going to start with football, and eventually we're going to be track for everything. It's just a matter of time. So as we're setting up, at every place we went, I kind of wanted to get a feel on how the other schools were thinking about us. So we'd go set up for football, our football broadcast. And I would kind of feel out the AD a little bit. Hey, what do you think about this whole all sports thing? And almost to an AD, I mean, there were maybe one or two that were all for it. They were like, I just don't see it going to happen. So by the end of the football season, I thought, I don't think this is going to happen. And I really thought it was going to go for all sports. It was just kind of a matter of time. Man, I don't know.
Yeah, and I just think that I just don't think that's a winning situation for Monmouth Roseville to be in
right.
two conferences, and then for the kids to kind of figure out whether right. You know, this year I did all the Sherrard games this year, so I was the one day I was over at Peru St. Bede, great place to do a game by the way. It's a beautiful it's like a small college campus really that you're at. So I was setting up my equipment. It's weird because they have like a campus like radio station, right? But it's like grown men doing the games, and then the LPO has a WLPO has a team that broadcasts, and I can't remember which crew it was, but there was. And I tell Scott Munson the story all the time. So the guy on my left, he's like, and mind you, this is a conference game. So it's the Three Rivers. I get them mixed up. Three Rivers, Mississippi, I think, is the big.
Is
the big school? And the Rock is the small?
I can't remember.
I don't know.
That's how confusing. Yeah. We're in this whole business.
The Three Rivers Norris Division.
We can't keep it straight, you know, and this is our job.
What if they would call that the Three Rivers Norris Division?
That would be awesome. Be awesome. Find some old, you know, some old guy, just name it after him.
Yeah. So the guy, he turns to me. And he's like, hey. I'm like, yeah. He's like, what's Sherrard's nickname? I mean, this is a conference
game. You should
have
gave him some
I'm like,
some
Jets.
Up.
I told him
awesome.
Tigers, but I'm like, that's where we're at, like in conference affiliation, where you don't even know the nickname of your conference foe. That's the sad part.
Yeah,
that's the
is.
Sad
it
reality
is.
Of
for
it.
For one, that's bad preparation. And for two, you know, that's kind of where we're at. You're right.
And then I'm just curious from, like, a Monmouth Roseville standpoint, how confusing is it for you guys to keep track of all this? Like, oh, we're on the Three Rivers track for football, and then we go to the West Central. Did you say North? Who
North
is,
Division.
Can you tell, who is in the West Central North? Anyway?
The West Central
and
North.
And I should know this, but.
Right, exactly.
Because, like,
I'm
back
saying.
In the day, you knew all the schools in the Bi-County and the Corn Belt and the Lincoln Trail and the Olympic.
Much
Conference.
Easier. Much easier.
So the West Central North.
The West Central North is Monmouth Roseville, Illini West, West Hancock, Macomb, and Camp Point Central.
Who's in the West Central South?
The West Central South is Mendon Unity, Liberty, Payson Seymour.
And Permian from Texas.
Right. It's.
The Mojo Magic.
And to make it even more confusing, QND's jumping in next year.
So they're
for the West Central Conference.
They're on the other side?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they're
really?
They're going to be, you know, with Illini West switching to all sports Prairie Land, they're taking QND spot in our North Division. I'm going to have to get a piece of paper and write this down before next year. Yeah, it's very confusing.
I mean,
it's not bad for us because it's kind of what we do, but it's the parents of a freshman, you know, say for instance, they have no idea what's going on, because they've been at the junior high level, so they're coming into high school. They're confused about their own conference affiliation as parents, and that's kind of frustrating.
Well, and we talk a lot about, like, you know, what is the future of high school sports, you know, and especially in Illinois with, you know, I know basketball gets a lot of the attention with the fan base now with the state tournament, things of that nature. I mean,
is that a hot-button topic right now?
But, I mean, everybody, it's like the thing that's always amazing to me when we have that discussion, we always talk about every coach I always see, like, why can't we, you know, they should never expand it. It should be two class. But then it's like, well, why can't, it's like, I'm just amazed at why can't somebody sponsor the bylaw amendment to say, let's go back to two classes.
Right.
And the vote would be 895-0 with in terms of everybody I talk with.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think I'm one of the, probably the few that, I mean, it needs tweaked, obviously. I don't really mind four classes. I really don't. I'm probably one of the very, very few that don't mind four classes. But yeah, it would be a huge, and I don't know what's stopping the dialogue from, instead of just being talked about on social media, to actually putting something in motion.
And for me too, I don't mind four class. I go to the state tournament every year, regardless, because the games are good, you know. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, people don't go to the games anymore, but they use the crutch that it's four class. But
use that excuse for everything.
Yeah, but I think more. For the basketball issue, I think the bigger issue in terms of the fan base is now today, the youth, the kids that are not high school age, if they like basketball, they're playing, because the youth tournaments go into April. So
crazy
most of those kids are playing basketball still, or they're involved in their travel baseball. And then you have the overlap now of, you know, the spring sports seasons that start while the winter sports seasons are going on. So you have those other kids that have track commitments or baseball commitments, and that negates them from going, too.
A perfect example, Ben Beresh played for Annawan Weathersfield, Annawan down at the state tournament. I think 3 days after they were done, he was in his first track meet, or had a, you know, very quick turnaround, just as one example.
But in terms of, like, the kids that would go to the games, maybe they can't because they're involved in those other sports.
Exactly.
And that's the other issue that I think is really the IHSA needs to look at is the calendar, especially from winter to spring.
Yeah, and you know, like today, are we going to have maybe three games played around the entire state of Illinois today? None around our area.
Yeah, well, that's right. And today is what date?
March 31st. Yeah.
March 31st, excuse me. So, again, the calendar, man. Why can't the calendar start April 1?
West Central Baseball, I was kind of doing some things with them, and Coach Leith, Quinn Leith, love the guy. They scheduled a game on the 20th and then didn't schedule anything until today. So I'm thinking, why is West Central not played a game? So I start digging in. I'm like, well, they just didn't schedule. Maybe they've done the smart thing, because they're going to get a bunch of games in and not have to reschedule now.
Well,
maybe that's what everybody should start
doing.
Well,
and that's the thing, too, from the scheduling-wise. We had a situation here where it was one of the first games of the season, and Mercer County played Kewaunee, I think. It was the first game. And they couldn't play on the first day because the weather wasn't very good. But the next day, they could have played. And I think both teams had the open date, and Kewaunee didn't want to play.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, why are you scheduling then early in the season if you don't want to play?
Right. That's the next available date.
That's what I – and that's talking about, like, growing the fan base and things of this nature. I just don't think starting –
and
playing baseball games in March 15th that you can play, that doesn't grow the
I know they the get game. Into umpire issues, but that early, there wouldn't have been a whole lot of conflicts, I wouldn't think. You're talking the second day of the season. They should have been able to get some umpires, which that's become an issue as well.
All right, we're talking with our good friend Sean Temple. He is a native. What did you call it, Kirkwood?
Hard scrabbled avenues.
Where they never call a foul, even if there is blood. All right, we'll have more with the Sean Temple coming up on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
Rebuilding a home can be expensive.
You see. All right, Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning, talking with Sean Temple, who is the sports director at WMOI, WRAM radio down in Monmouth. And people don't remember back in 1979 when WRMJ signed on the air. Roger Coleman, of course, was the owner. WRMJ simulcast with WRAM.
No kidding.
Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
I forget how many years it happened. I wish John's out of town today, but yeah, that's how this station began.
Very cool.
So John Hoshite was officially, his first job was at WRAM.
Nice.
And then became the general manager and sales manager here at WRMJ, and the rest is history. You're the Legion baseball coach, right?
Yeah.
So let's get into that a little bit about your role with Legion Baseball, and you told me off the air favorite sport.
Yeah, I'm a baseball guy. I've made no issues or no bones about that. I'm a baseball guy. Always have been. I come from a baseball family. Summer stuff. I mean, that's a whole nother. I mean, we've talked about it many times. It's summer, just hanging out at the ballpark. The things going on with the high school sports. Get your 7-on-7s for football, and of course basketball, and then Legion ball. So I mean, there's just a lot going on in the summer, and I feel bad for the kids. I mean, I feel bad coaching wise because you know, you got to call, make 1,000 calls on game day to see where they're going to be. But it's the kids that get pulled in so many different directions. Football, I understand. Football coaches want to build their programs. Basketball coaches want to build their programs. And so you try to get with the coaches a schedule that makes everybody happy. In Monmouth, we're pulling kids from the United School District and as many West Central kids as we can get to come over.
You're talking about Legion.
Yeah, Legion ball. Yeah, yeah. And so you've got to work around so many different schedules, and it's tough. It's tough, but I feel bad for the kids because they want to do everything. It's just not possible.
Yeah, and that's the thing we get into too about the contact days in the summer. About, you know, all the coaches say they don't want them, but then they had the bylaw amendment to reduce it to 20 days, and it failed like by an overwhelming margin. And I guess that's a situation where there's just not. I guess there's never going to be an answer to that.
No. I used to be very anti what Iowa does, doing their baseball and softball in the summer, but through the 8 years I've been with the Legion, I mean, it would kill your Legion programs. But for the kids, maybe that's not such a bad thing, moving some baseball and softball in the spring into the summer months, late spring and summer, because of days like today, you know, and all the scheduling issues that, I mean, ADs must have the biggest headaches in the world during the spring season. So maybe bump it into the summer. Probably never happen, and I don't even know if it would ever be discussed. But you know, I'm starting to switch a little bit. Maybe
well,
it would be
and
a
I
idea.
Just look at I don't understand why they couldn't do it to the end of June. I don't think that is a huge issue. Now I know there's going to be some resistance from those interests that want the summer schedule for. As you mentioned, the summer 7-on-7 football, basketball, but I think you still can do that.
Yeah, I mean
you're
got
doing
July.
It. You're doing it now anyway.
Yeah.
In June, basically, while the kids are basically out of school and they have the baseball or the softball from the girls' standpoint, and I know there will be resistance from the ASA circuit saying we don't want you to eat into that from the IHSA level, but then too, it's, you know, you have to win to stay alive in the postseason. So we're talking about just a handful of teams that are going to be playing along the tournament trail. Most other teams in baseball or softball, once they're eliminated, if they don't get to the sectional or super sectional round, they're going to be done by the first week or second week of June, even with an extended calendar.
Yeah,
right.
It's a great point. I mean, that's a fantastic point. And then, I mean, I don't know if you could move your contact days into the season, you know, with that extra 2 or 3 weeks, but you'd still have a little downtime where you could get some things done. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Just push it maybe just 1 month.
But even with the contact days, they're doing it anyway now in terms of kids that play Legion baseball or whatever commitments. What I'm saying, they can still do the football and basketball stuff in June like they do, and the IHSA baseball seasons can still proceed, because my issue with every sport is we've conditioned now that it's overlap, that everybody has offers the off-season stuff during an in-season other sport. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So whatever
yeah.
the sport is in the fall, you still have off-season stuff for a sport.
You
say
your open gyms
yeah.
and that
so
kind of thing. Yeah.
I'm saying, why can't you do that in the month of June? You're doing it basically for every sport now.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Maybe, you know, definitely something they should definitely consider. It's an idea.
What do you think about the whole private school versus public school?
Oh, boy,
thing?
Here we go. I know Vanessa is probably somewhere going, don't say a word. But, yeah, I don't know how you fix it. The thing is, everybody says, well, they should have their own tournament. I don't really want that. I don't want to be totally separated. But, you know, the whole discussion this week was Eric Horn down in Q&D coming out and saying,
yeah, I know our segment with Brian, we're going to talk a little bit. Brian Roosh, we're going to talk about that later today, too. But,
I like the success factor. You know, I like it. Maybe it needs tweaked a little bit. But, I mean, he brought up his own percentages of 68% of public schools have won state championships, and there's a 68% division for teams participating.
Yeah.
So he's kind of making my argument. You're right. Whatever we're doing now seems to be working. Why get rid of it or change it? If it's 68 and 68, you're helping me out there,
yeah,
Eric. Thanks.
Himself.
Exactly. That's kind of what we were talking about this week around the station back home. But, you know, whatever they're doing seems to be working. So why tweak it?
See, and
I'm sorry you haven't won a state championship in 2 or 3 years, but five. I'd trade that any day. You know,
five.
Something needs to change. We haven't won five in a row. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I got some strong opinions on that, but it's working. Maybe it needs tweaked a little bit. I mean, I don't know. Maybe 4 years is too much to be bumped up.
Well, and you know, the debate for me is always, and I went to a Catholic high school,
mm-hmm.
and. Like, I get into...
So you were recruited. No.
Yeah, I was.
I didn't
recruited
say that. Did I say that?
Illinois, yeah. I was one of the guys they aired on, though. No.
Can we send him back? That's what it would be for me.
Yeah, the... No,
I was recruited in Yorkwood.
I got traded. No. For me, though, like, when I look at all of them, I'll get in these debates, and I'm like, you play in the Western Big Six. So if that's okay for you to play in the regular season... You need to play against them in the postseason, or there needs to be some equation, there needs to be some difference. And I don't have a real problem with football. I liked the football enrollment, and I liked they used that for all schools, public and private, because I thought Aledo in their heyday in football playing in the Olympic Conference, when their enrollment was declining, they were benefiting with their actual enrollment because they'd be playing down in classes
sure.
from what they were playing in the regular season, and that would be I think they'd have a little bit of an unfair advantage when they went to the postseason, even though they were a public school. So I believe that the level of competition should kind of determine where you compete at in the postseason. And I like football enrollment because it looked at basically the average enrollment of your opponent, and they always took out the top enrollment school you played and the bottom
right.
enrollment. And then basically it was that average. And then they split. And I like the average part of it.
But yeah,
then
you too.
They would go one step further and they would split the difference between your actual enrollment and that average. And you'd play at the number that was ever higher. So you'd always basically, if you're playing larger teams in enrollment, you're going to be bumped up a classification. Now, I think that in the four class for basketball in four class sports, I believe that that's how classification should kind of work for public and private. And even the eight class, I truly believe that that's the way it should be. Because I don't have a problem, as much as Sterling Newman has had their success over the years, I don't have a problem really seeing them playing 2A, 3A, whatever, even 2A. Because they play
those schools.
Teams
sure.
all year long.
Sure.
They're a 2A football program. I don't think Alleman is. You know, and that's the debate.
I agree.
That's the debate we come at, is how you classify them. And I wish they would look at that factor again. They're looking at a multiplier, which they're in terms of the 1.65 multiplier, they're treating all non-boundaried schools the same. And I just don't think that 1.65 is fair for every non-boundaried school. That there are other factors, including socioeconomic factors, things of
so
of that
there's a
nature.
Lot of factors.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. In football, it's when you're an athletic director, you kind of make your own schedule. Maybe not for football because you've got 9 games to work with. In football, it's a race to 5. You got to get to 5 wins. So I would, if I was an athletic director, I would schedule my non-cons to get myself to 5. Other sports, you can play 6. 16 4A schools, because everybody's making the playoffs.
Yeah.
You're still going to be better, and you're going to go 1A or 2A. In football, it's that race to 5, so the scheduling's a little bit different there. I mean, I like the multipliers in some way, shape, or form because, you know, I don't know.
Well, that's why when you get into it, there's just not the...
So, like you said... So many factors.
Yeah.
So many factors.
No, because right before Zunkel left, Nat Zunkel, he proposed the bylaw for the separate state championship series.
Yeah, you know,
and he was, and the reason it didn't get to the ballot Did you hear why it didn't get to the ballot? Well, because he left. And he went to McHenry. And you have to have... so he's not an... He was an official representative when he was at Mercer County. So you can offer the bylaw, he could. But then when he went to McHenry, he wasn't the official representative there.
Oh, wow.
So he couldn't offer it. But he said... You know, there are a lot of people behind the scenes, you know, do it, uncle, you know, propose it. And then
when it came to their
then,
turn.
Yeah, well, but I say when he proposed it, then he told me about, you know, he took a beating from a lot of different interests of
sure.
why you're doing that. But if you talk to a lot of people out there, there's still a lot of people I talk to today. They'll say, Taylor, here's how you cure the public-private enrollment.
Hey, would you be willing to say that on the air? No, thanks. No comment.
Let them have their own state tournament, and I'm not. I'm definitely...
No, I don't want to separate the two. Now, I've heard separate the two and then just have the winners play and make one big state champion.
And I think the other thing about, you know, the enrollment, they need to look at enrollment and the schedule you play. And
the schedule you play is a big factor.
Why I'm saying both public and private need to be assessed the same way in that is because of the Chicago Public League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you're seeing that those schools now in the four-class system, at least in basketball, where Public League is known for their basketball prowess, and you're seeing their, you know, City of Chicago schools are dealing with declining enrollment just as much as Western Illinois schools mm-hmm. are, and where it really hit home for me this year. I remember one day I was doing a postseason game. I can't remember if it was regional or sectional level, and I had my laptop open. I had ScoreZone on, looking at, you know, scores from 1A, 2A, and I'm like, so you see, all, yeah, I'm like, yeah. Oh my goodness, all those Chicago, City of Chicago schools are 2A and 1A?
Yeah, how are
I mean, you're not talking
about... Start looking around for enrollments and stuff. What is going on here?
Yeah, you're not talking about a handful.
No, right?
I mean,
yeah.
It is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw the last 2 years, you know, what Chicago Orr did.
Yeah,
and they're a public school out of Chicago. What they did to the 2A field, because I realistically thought Winnebago was going to have a chance in the 2A state title game. Boys, they had no chance.
No,
and that was a very good. I'll call Winnebago still a downstate school. That was a very
sure.
good 2A. That's one of the better 2A teams I've seen since Happ and Heath played it at Rock Ridge,
mm-hmm.
and they had no chance. So I think that's the other issue that the IHSA is going to have to start looking at in terms of classification is how are you going to classify those Chicago Public League schools who have open enrollment, who have, you know, the demographics of the population base to get some of those kids athletically. That I think that's going to be an issue that's going to start to rear its ugly head here before too long, if it hasn't already happened.
Yeah, I mean, how do you classify them then? Like you said earlier, I mean, what's the fair way to classify them? I mean, I don't know. You need to find somebody that's specialized. I mean, we do too many other sports to actually think about what's going on in the football. But there's somebody out there that can get together in a group somewhere and get it figured out.
All right. So, give me a great memory so far in your 5 years at MOIRAM that's sports related.
I would say probably just not long ago, we covered the Monmouth College Fighting Scott basketball team up at Wisconsin-Platteville in the NCAA Division III tournament. That was a pretty cool deal. Pretty cool deal. Nice campus, you know, NCAA tournament. I would probably say that's probably the highlight so far.
Give me something where you really got mad about something. You don't have to name names. Have you ever? I asked Matt Randazzo that the one time, and he was, does he ever get mad? He was honest about what he said about, like, competition-wise, he told a great story about something that they missed at another station. Got, and a lot of it's just victim of circumstances.
Sure.
You can only be certain place at certain time, you know, with all you have to cover. Is there anything that comes to mind where you really, hacked you off?
I would say I wasn't even on the air at the time, but I'd have to say the Monmouth-Roseville Field Crest basketball game from years ago that people still talk about. When Monmouth-Roseville probably had their best basketball team.
Now that would have been like the 100 kid.
Yeah, the 100 would have been his senior year. Went down to Fieldcrest and just kind of, in my opinion, got jobbed by the referees. I mean, just unbelievable. It's still talked about. I mean, there was people contacting the IHSA and everything afterwards. It was just crazy.
The game was at Fieldcrest?
No, it was at...
Was that Princeton?
Princeton. Yes.
Yeah, what Princeton. Happened in that game again?
The one of the referees.
Oh, he was from the Fieldcrest.
He had a son. He had a son that played golf for the Fieldcrest head coach.
Fighting Knights.
So yeah. So and Coach Grant. Talking to him, he said, we're having the officials meeting, captains meeting before the game.
Before you finish, I have a great Chuck Grant story from on a post game he said on your station. But go ahead. That's how I want to make sure I don't forget to tell you that.
While they're shaking hands and everything, the official just says, like, first name basis. We're talking postseason here.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Whatever. So Chuck said, I kind of, my ears perked up a little bit at that time. But and then, you know, their star just went on for whatever points, and we had 4,700 fouls in the game.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, I remember, because a lot of times when I'm driving home from a game, I'll scan the dial and see what's
yeah,
what's on
I do the
whatever.
Same thing.
And
yeah.
So anyway, Monmouth Roosevelt was playing at, and if Coach Grant's listening today, it was so funny because I give him a hard time about this. We were, they were playing, I think, at Illini West. So it was Monmouth Roosevelt and Illini West. So I think the conference was at the time, so Rock Ridge was still in that conference. Was the West Central then?
Sure, yeah, West Central. Yeah. So I don't think they had Norris and division at that time. But
I want to say it was in Hap's era. I can't remember if he would have been a senior or junior. So it was that era where Rock Ridge and Monmouth Roosevelt were the cream of the crop.
Sure, and I think I know where you're going with
okay.
this. Okay.
So anyway, so they're playing Illini West, and I think Monmouth Roosevelt lost. It was
yeah.
in Carthage.
It's always
and,
a battle
yeah,
down there.
And so Coach Grant gets on, and you can tell it's like still heat of the moment. And he's like, yeah, and I'm not going to name names of the official. You got a guy that's working the game, that's the superintendent of the school we're competing.
We're battling for first place.
We're competing against. He's involved in the game. And just by chance, calls don't get go our way or whatever. But I just thought it was
the
funny.
The Fieldcrest game was actually pretty fresh in that time, too.
So I texted Grant, like, immediately when my car stopped, of course, I wasn't driving. And I texted the name to him, and he's like, he basically just texts back, yes, with an exclamation point.
he's a quote machine. Now, we were covering Galesburg there for a while, and one of my favorite post-game interviews almost every night was Mike Reynolds.
And
you talk about a quote
machine. He
played
many of his games on WRMJ
right,
at Orion.
That's right. Yeah, he is a great post-game interview.
Well, and that's why, you know, here as we wind down our time, the coach last week that who was the coach? Was it Hamilton? Who'd he coach for in the college basketball tournament? And he didn't foul with the last 11 seconds.
Yeah.
And
it was a 4-point game.
Yeah, and the sideline reporter interviewed him, and he was mad.
Oh, he
and
was.
You could tell. And he was. Yep. And I tell people context. The coach was wrong, and the strategy was wrong. I get that. But in terms of context, okay, I'm sure they caught up with him right after the game, and they're playing that segment back later in the post.
A little bit later.
So
yep,
he's
yep.
mad, and he hasn't even talked to sure. his kid. So the heat of the moment. You know that, so I give him a little bit of a break there that he didn't really have time to digest what was going on, and that's some of the thing that the worst moments like in media happen in heat of the moment because TV always wants the access, right? It's the old Crabtree thing with Richard Sherman. I mean,
sure.
those guys just played a violent football game for 60 minutes. They're asked to kill one another. You think that they're going to say something really nice when the
yep.
you know the game ends 2 seconds later, and there have been a lot of times in this profession of mine that I feel coaches aren't ready to come on the air. And but you know, we sell a coach's corner and we want them to come on.
And
so
they always do.
And I always say, I will always defend them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had few coaches that are very angry and very mad, or the emotion of the game is still well within them. And they say some things and you're like, coach, you shouldn't have probably, you know, you're thinking to yourself, man, you shouldn't have probably said that. But then I'm like, well, I should
let's talk about something else.
I shouldn't have had him on
right,
the air
right.
Either. You know, those type of situations. Because, I mean, when you turn the mic on, you know, it can be your greatest friend and it can be your greatest enemy.
And somebody's recording it or somebody's got it somewhere
or
for sure.
Yeah, it's archived everywhere. Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
To
I tell my coaches all the time in our area, dude, we're not TMZ. I'm not here to make headlines. Let's get some positivity out to our guys.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that's why I give them the benefit of the doubt. And you're fortunate that, you know, when I talk about like buy-in, about if you think you're doing it the right way or the wrong way, it's your relationships that you have with the people you're broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think I like the relationships that I've created here with the people I work with and the coaches in the districts I work with, because of the expectations of they know what to expect from me, I know what to expect from them. I think you're kind of in the same boat.
Absolutely.
Down there. Is that, I mean, the buy-in from the schools you cover are so important, and because people say, why do I say we all the time, Taylor? I'm like, it's like, your kids don't go to Rock Ridge. Your kid, well, I know they don't, but you know, we've invested in those school districts that we collectively own, you know, not necessarily the broadcast rights, but we are on board with them, wanting them to succeed, and we're investing in their products.
Mitch McBay, who works for us at WRAM, WMOY, does United football now. And, you know, he's like, well, you know, I'm a Mama Throwsville guy. I went to school at Mama Throwsville. I don't know a lot about United, but by the end of the season, Coach Milroy, one of the nicest guys you can meet, Mitch was bought in, man. He was like, United football. By the end of 9 games, I mean, he was like, I can't wait till next week. Next year starts, yeah.
And that's the – do you ever get to broadcast your kids?
Yeah, a few there towards the end.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It really is.
That's my best moment in my broadcasting career.
And I don't know about you, but, you're a little bit hurter on your own. I mean, Alex would take a bad shot, and I'm like, that's not a good shot by Mammoth Roseville there.
And that's why I tell people, too, they're smart enough to know, hey, man, when my kids are playing, you know, I'm all in for the Eagles, man. I hope we pummel you, Rock Ridge or Sherrard or Warren. I don't care. My kids, it's blood.
Exactly.
Man.
Yeah,
blood
yeah, yeah.
is thicker mm-hmm. than broadcast
yep,
wires.
Yep, I totally agree.
All right, any parting words other than I know the Pirates are not going to contend because they've already sold out well before the season even started. So they're using the Houston Astros platform. So you're going to have to wait for like 6 years of losing 100 games each season. But then, lo and behold, you'll have the players put together maybe.
I think I put on Twitter yesterday, nothing annoys me more than bad defense in Major League Baseball. So I'm not sure my TV is going to make it through the summer.
All right, so what do you got going on next week? Just back to the regular routine.
Yeah, back to getting our great kids in our area and our great coaches some airtime and getting them out to the public, because we work with some really, really good dudes we can just sit down and
I don't want to even talk to them on the air.
No, exactly. I've told them a million times I would like to have our off the air interviews on the air rather than our on
air. So here's what I want to do this summer. I hope Grant's listening, and I didn't get to do it last summer, but I want to go down to the Southside Lounge, this, like, thing
Roseville,
has,
Southside Lounge. Yeah.
And I want you
He's
to
getting
be
a big chuckle
I
want, right now.
I want you to be there. Here's who I want to be there. And then I want Dave Giles to be there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he will be.
And those are, like, indirect people that I love.
Yeah.
Those are the type of people I love in this occupation where you go to broadcast games, but you're really, that's secondary to you because it's about the relationships where you do it in hospitality room or whatever, and you're giving each other the business for, you know, 10 minutes or whatever. So I'd want Dave Giles. I'd want you there. I'd want Doug Dennison there.
Yep.
By the way, I think your conversations, I scan the dial in the morning when I'm taking my kids to school. Your conversations, like, during the season with Dennison are, like, can't miss.
Oh, man. You talk about the most
radio.
Positive guy in America.
And then also, I thought your conversations with the former United softball coach.
Hannah Baker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know she's listening
she's
out
great,
there.
She's a great,
she is awesome.
She's a great Facebook follow, by the way. Some of the stuff she posts is hilarious. But I go, Grant at his house, at Southside Lounge, Grant, Doug Dennison, Sean Temple, and I also, Dave Giles, and then I'd also want Marty Flaherty to make a trip with me, and I want
that
Joe
would be
to,
awesome.
I want Joe Thompson to be involved,
and we're gonna have too. To Facebook Live
and then,
or something,
yeah. And then a couple like wild card old Bi County dudes that have to show up too. So that's what this job is all about anyway. So anyway, Sean Temple, thanks for coming in. Great
you
job
bet.
At WRAM and WMOI in Monmouth. Have a good spring, sir.
You too, my man.
Best of luck to your family.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a break. Brian Roosh coming up with Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. As a